Hi, everyone. Wow, a good crew. My name is Maureen O'Hagan. We were hired, MCO Housing Services was hired by the developer for the to distribute the two affordable units at Weber Village in Littleton. So tonight is the public information meeting. You can ask any question you want. The chat is open. This meeting is being recorded. If you're going to ask me a question, and you want me to turn off the recording, just let me know. I'm more than happy to do that. And then I will turn it back on once the question is answered. So, all right, so let's get started. Weber Village is located on Patricia Way. If you're looking for it, the address is 92 King Street on the GPS, which is very close to Littleton. The Littleton commuter station, Ayer commuter station, farms, shopping, it's a great location. It consists of 17 duplex or detached single family homes. Two units are affordable, one detached and one duplex are available to by lottery to eligible households. The price is $219,200. It includes, both units include 2.5 baths, one car garage, and an unfinished basement, and approximately 1,600 square feet of living space. Refrigerator, stove, oven, microwave, and dishwasher are included. The current fee, and it, we're in December, so it may have gone up, is $221 a month. And the 2022 tax rate is $1,771. Again, we're in January. So if the condo association has put together a new budget, the $221 may no longer be valid, but I will find that out for the buyers. Town water, community septic system, which is maintained by the HOA. Heat and air conditioning are provided via electric heat pump and a split zone system. Now we're handling this lottery a little different from others, meaning, in order to be included in the lottery, you just need to fill out the application, provide a mortgage pre-approval, if your local preference, proof of local preference, and if you require a special accommodation, that needs to be provided at the time of application. We knew this was going to be a popular lottery. There's only two units, so everyone that applies for the lottery will be included in the lottery, assuming what they provide is complete. So we will only be collecting the financial documentation from the two buyers that have the opportunity to purchase, all right? Which is why if you applied for lotteries before through MCO, you've had to provide your pay stub, tax returns, all that. We're not asking for that this go around, just the application, pre-approval, proof of local preference, and if you require a special accommodation. If you provided all that documentation, then you will definitely be included in the lottery. Tonight is the public information meeting. You can ask any question you want. The application deadline is January 28th. Your application must be postmarked on or before January 28th, 2023. And the lottery right now is scheduled for February 10th. We'll move that up if we are able to. The reason why we kept a couple weeks between the deadline and the lottery is the mail is incredibly slow these days. So hopefully it's enough time for people that are mailing something that it'll get to the office. So that's where we are. So there are three main eligibility criteria for this property. One, it's based on income. Your income is based on how many people will be living in the home. So if you are a one person household, the maximum allowable income is $78,300. A two person household, $89,500. A three person household, $100,700. And a four person household is $111,850. That is gross income before any deductions on your paycheck. It includes income from all sources. So it'll be your salary, if you're self-employed, child support, alimony, retirement, social security, all sources of income cannot exceed the amounts just stated for your household size. And you must include income, assets, everything from all household members 18 years of age or older. If you're 18, you're considered an adult. So their income and assets will count in determining the eligibility. There's one exception there, which I'll get into in a little bit. You must be a first-time home buyer. A first-time home buyer is defined as someone who has not owned a home for 3 years, and that includes homes in a trust. There are exceptions to that, and I'm going to read them directly from the application. A displaced homemaker, which is defined as an adult who has not worked full-time, full year in the labor force for a number of years, but has, during those years, worked primarily without pay to care for the home and family, while a homemaker owned a home with his or her partner or resided in a home owned by the partner. Number two, if you are a single parent, and that is defined as an individual who owned a home with his or her partner or resided in a home owned by the partner and is a single parent, is unmarried or legally separated from a spouse and either has one or more children where they have individual custody or joint custody or is pregnant. If you are pregnant, that unborn child is considered a household member. The third exception is if you are 55 and older, you do not need to be a first-time home buyer. And the other two that I rarely see is households, or never have seen, households that owned a principal residence, not permanently affixed to a permanent foundation in accordance with applicable regulations, that's usually a trailer home. And number three, if you own a home, owned a property that was not in compliance with state, local, model building codes, and it cannot be brought into compliance for less than the cost of construction. In that case, you would be considered a first-time home buyer as well. And then the third eligibility criteria is the asset limit. You can earn up to $75,000 in assets. If you're over 55 and you have a home to sell, the equity from your home sale counts towards that $75,000 asset limit. The assets are your individual, your IRAs, 401ks, stocks, bonds, money market, CDs. We may not count the full value of some of those accounts depending on what they are. For example, if you have a 401k with your current company, you may or may not have access to those funds. If you can take what is called an in-service withdrawal, and that is where you can withdraw funds from the account and not pay it back, we will count the dollar value of the funds you can withdraw. From that full dollar value, we will deduct, if you're under the age to withdraw money, we will deduct the taxes, both state and federal, and any early penalty fees from that in-service dollar amount you can withdraw. The balance is what is counted towards your asset limit, okay? So if you have, ease of math, $50,000 in a 401k, and you can take out 50% or $25,000, we're going to deduct somewhere around anywhere from 27 to 37% off that $25,000. And whatever the balance is going to count towards your asset limit. Now, that is for your current 401k with a company. If you have a 401k from past employers, that money counts as well. It's treated the same. You have access to the full value of that money, but if you withdraw before you're of age, we will deduct the taxes, state, federal, and penalties, and use the balance towards your asset limit. It doesn't matter, since you're no longer working for that company, if you haven't rolled it over into anything, you do have 100% access to those funds. And that will count towards your asset limit with the deductions already described. 403B, KEO, whatever your retirement account may be called with your company, we all look at it the same. Now, if you cannot withdraw funds while you are working for that company under no circumstances, then we're not going to count the value of that retirement account at all. If you can take a hardship withdrawal, that's usually when all your other assets have been used up. And you need the money, usually it's to buy a house or whatever reasons your company may provide. Then the hardship will count towards your asset limit as well, minus taxes and penalties, which you will have to pay. All right. Stocks, bonds, money markets, CDs, those are all counted at face value. If you have an IRA, a traditional IRA, we will deduct taxes from it if you're under 59 and a half, same as with an in-service withdrawal, because if you were to withdraw from that fund before you were 59 and a half, you would pay taxes and penalties. After 59 and a half, you can legally withdraw, so we would just deduct taxes. There would be no penalty to that. Your 401k more than likely is going to be counted at face value. There aren't, you don't pay any penalties, I don't believe, or taxes when you withdraw from that fund, because it's tax-free money upon withdrawal. So that the Roth IRA will count at full value. All right, now if you are retirement age or retired, and you have it set up where you're getting X number of dollars a month or on a regular basis from one of your investment accounts, we're going to count that money as income. The balance of that asset account will not count towards your asset limit. Okay, we can only count your asset once. And if you have it set up, say you have a 401k and you're getting $500 a month to supplement your income, and your 401k could be worth $600,000, we're only going to count the $500 a month towards your income limit. The balance of that account will not count towards your asset limit. All right. If you have divested assets at less than fair market value within the past 2 years, we will count the full market value in determining your asset limit. So if you sold a home to a family member for $100,000 and it's worth $400,000, we're going to count the $400,000. Okay, so just keep that in mind. All right, any questions on the eligibility criteria?
Is there a minimum you have to make?
The minimum is what your lender is going to require to qualify for a mortgage. So we don't provide a minimum income. A mortgage, the minimum you have to put down on the property is 3%. That's minimum. That's by the program guidelines. It's a 3% down payment. 1.5 must be from your own funds. The other 1.5 could be a gift or something from another family member. So the minimum down payment is 3%. The minimum income is between you and your lender. Okay. Now there's a question here. Is there an age restriction? This is not a 55 plus community. I believe both units are built with a first floor master. But let me see, I think I'm right. Give me a sec, should have looked at this before this started. Yes, the cottage style home and the duplex both have a master suite on the first floor. So that is where the 55 plus, you want to age in place, it's built that way, but it is not a 55 plus restricted development. So I'm certain there are families who have purchased in there already. I don't know, but I'm assuming there are. What is local preference? Local preference means one unit is for a household that meets one of the local preference criteria. The local preference is if you are a current Littleton resident, if you work for the town of Littleton or the Littleton school system, you work in the town, meaning you're commuting into the town of Littleton, for a company based in Littleton, or you have a offer of employment from a company based in Littleton, or you have children that go to the Littleton school system. Any one of those will get you in the local pool. Okay. If you don't meet any one of those criteria, those guidelines, you will not be included in the local pool. And again, we'll all get into something else a little bit later. So the unit must be a principal residence. You cannot rent or lease the unit without permission from the monitoring agent, which is not given all that often, but it must be your principal residence. Non-household members are not allowed to be co-signers. So you need to you need to be able to finance the property without a co-signer. And to participate in the lottery, a mortgage pre-approval is required. I have a couple more questions. Would a down payment program be considered own funds? If you're using a down payment program, you have to provide at least 1.5% of your own funds for the down payment. You have to have money in the game. So at least 1.5% must be your own funds. All right. So there are mortgage guidelines. Hang on a second. I got to turn the page. The mortgage must be a fixed rate mortgage, usually 30 years. And again, down payment of at least 3%. When we get your mortgage, when we will review your mortgage pre-approvals with your application prior to the lottery. And it should say, this is what the price of the home, this is how much you'll finance. So we'll make sure it's at least 3%. It must be made by an institutional lender. You cannot have a private loan through a family member or somebody else. You must get it through a bank or mortgage company. Again, fixed rate interest through with a current fair market interest rate. The interest rates last week, I haven't checked this week. The Fannie Mae interest rates were like 6.49. I don't know what they are today. I haven't checked. And your monthly housing costs cannot exceed 38% of your monthly income. So if your mortgage is coming through at 50% of your income, you're not going to be eligible for purchase. Okay. Prior to closing, your mortgage is reviewed by the monitoring agent and they do the math. And if it comes in where you're paying, you know, 45% of your income for housing costs, they'll turn down your mortgage. So you want to make sure it meets the mortgage guidelines. There are there are a couple mortgage programs I recommend you look at first, particularly where the interest rates are high or higher than they were a year ago. My favorite program, the one I recommend you look at first, is the One Mortgage Program. That is a program where it's a minimum 3% down payment. You do not pay closing costs. There's a minimum credit score of 660. Just one more point. What is it?
3% down payment.
Oh, and you don't pay PMI. So private mortgage insurance, you're saving on the PMI. That is a program that is available only through approved lenders. You can go on our website, mcohousingservices.com, under our finance tab, there's 4 approved lenders there. All the lenders on our website are all approved, both Mass Housing, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, and the MHP program, the One Mortgage Program. If you want to find the full list of approved lenders for the One Mortgage Program, you can go to mhp.net and you can navigate a little bit and you'll find the full list of approved lenders on the MHP, which is the Massachusetts Housing Partnership. It's their program. Now, there was a ton of money available for grants through MHP and Mass Housing. Well, let me talk about the Mass Housing program first. Mass Housing is another program for first-time home buyers. Everything I just told you is still the same, except you tend to pay a higher interest rate. MHP, you tend to pay a lower interest rate than the current market rate. Mass Housing, you tend to pay slightly higher, is my experience. But Mass Housing does have a down payment assistance program, which you're more than welcome to use. MHP does not, but there are, what's it called? The Dream Program, I think. If you live in certain communities, and they're usually cities, Boston, Lowell, I don't know, there's a list. There's like 16 communities. If you live in, then eligible for what's called, I believe it's called the Mass Dream Program, where you would be eligible up to $35,000 in a grant to purchase. But you've got to meet the program guidelines. I don't have the program guidelines on me. You certainly can Google it and find out which communities you must live in order to qualify for that program. Mass Housing had the program, but they are out of funds. So last I heard from MHP, they still had some Mass Dream funds. So if you meet the eligibility criteria, It's definitely a program because it is a grant. It's money you do not have to pay back. So it's going to bring your mortgage significantly down. So you may want to do your research on that program as well. Again, non-household members are not permitted as co-signers on your mortgage. FHA and VA loans are not accepted as they will not close. They will not close on deed-restricted properties where the affordability survives foreclosure. Okay. And when you buy an affordable home, the affordability survives foreclosure. So if anyone who submits an FHA or a VA loan, you're not going to be included in the lottery. Okay. So just keep that in mind. But again, look at the one mortgage through MHP or the Mass Housing Program. You can go wherever you want. I don't recommend you use Bank of America. Any other lenders, fine. Bank of America, no. One, they're not an approved lender on the one mortgage program. And number two, I have been in this business about 20 plus years, and they don't like affordable programs, affordable homes. You'll never close or not close on time. These units are done. The builder wants to close as soon as possible. So trust me when I say, if you go with Bank of America and your loan is delayed for any reason, they may not hold the unit for you and will move to the next person on the list. So I would definitely steer clear of Bank of America. Any other lender, go for it. All right, so one of the two units are local preference, which we've already discussed. I've got a couple questions here. Hang on. Well, there's more questions that I got to. I think I skipped one. Someone's asking how your income is projected. We project your income forward 12 months. So we look at your, when we get your application, or let me phrase, if you have the opportunity to purchase, we will get your pay stubs as part of the financial documentation. And the way we determine your income is we look at your pay stubs two ways. One, we look at your gross paycheck for the five pay periods, average it out and multiply by the number of pay periods in the year, 12, 24, 26, or 52. That's one dollar amount. The second dollar amount is we'll look at your year to date and we'll divide by the number of weeks in the year. And then we'll multiply that out by 52. Whichever is greater is what is going to be counted as your income. We do look at what your income was for 2022. Then if there's a significant difference, like in 2022, you know, you made over 100,000 and this year we're projecting out and you're slated for 50 grand, then you have to give us an explanation. We're not gonna take your word for it. There's gotta be a reason for it, which we would expect an explanation from. All right, do you have to have local preference to put in a new? Absolutely not. Only one unit is for local preference. The other unit is open to everyone who applies, including all the local applicants. So absolutely, please apply, even if you don't meet the local preference. Once the home is purchased, can another property be purchased in the future? Well, this home needs to be your primary residence. So if your intent is to buy something else and then rent out this home, the answer is no, you have to sell this. Maybe if you purchase a vacation home, that is just literally a vacation home or weekend place, I don't see that as a problem. But if your intent is to purchase this and then purchase another property in the future that's gonna be your primary residence, this home needs to be sold. Is there a yard? It's all common area because they're condos. So all the green space on the property is can be used by anybody. You'll have probably some green space around your property. I live in a condo. Most people respect the green space around your home. There's a bunch of kids where I live and they're running through the backyard. It doesn't bother me a bit. They're more than welcome to do it. I like the sound of kids playing. But if your intent is not to have any kids around or not in your backyard, although, like I said, people tend to respect that, there's no guarantee. This is a condo. Kids can play anywhere they want. Yes, the question is, so an application who doesn't live in Littleton will be called as open pool and eligible to apply. That is correct. You will not be in the local pool. You will be in the open pool only. The question is, have I designated the units? I have not, but the local pool applicant will select their unit first. Okay, so there's two units. They have not been designated local or open, but the local pool applicant will select their unit first. Okay. That answers that. I expect dogs are allowed. I'm sure there's a policy. Definitely the dogs, there will be breed restrictions for liability issues for insurance purposes. There always is. Pit bulls, Rottweilers, those kind of dogs, they're going to be prohibited. But I'm sure there is a policy. I do not know what the policy is given. Well, you're getting ahead of me on the next question, Mike. I'm going to address that in a moment. We've already discussed, when you go to sell your home, wait a minute, where am I? Okay. So these are two bedroom units. They are going to go to households who require two bedrooms over households who require one. The way a household is determined, size is determined, a husband and wife or those in a similar living arrangement must share a bedroom. And there's at least one person per bedroom thereafter. Okay, so you're looking at a husband and wife or single parent and one kid at minimum for a two bedroom unit. If you are a husband and wife or a single person with no children, you certainly can apply for the lottery. Understanding when we pull the lottery, I'm getting out of whack, but that's okay. When we do a lottery, we're gonna pull the open pool and then the local pool, and then we'll pull the open pool, okay? Everyone who's in the lottery is in the local pool and the open pool. Post-lottery, I'm going to break down that list and rearrange things so the two-bedroom households have first priority and then the one-bedroom household. So if you're a single person or a couple with no kids and you're drawn first in the lottery, we are going to move to the first in the local pool, both pools, local and open. We are going to move to the first person on the list that requires two bedrooms.
Okay. So a single person does not stand a chance then.
With only two units, I would say it's highly unlikely. If it was a lottery with more units, I would say maybe you would have an opportunity, but with only two units, I think it's going to be difficult for a single person to get a unit. No, the lottery hasn't happened yet, so who knows what, I don't know what the number breakdown, we have received a lot of applications. So I don't know what the number breakdown will be, but I do think based on experience, a single person, it would be very difficult for you to obtain a unit, to be perfectly honest. If this was a 52 plus development, like we have a project in Berlin right now, there's 10 units. It's a 55 plus development. So do I think single people will have an opportunity to purchase? Absolutely, because there's 10 units.
And that's in Berlin.
Yeah, but the deadline is passed. The deadline was yesterday. So in that, with a larger number of units, I've sold plenty of 55 plus units to single households or single or a couple household. But with only two units, it's highly unlikely. I would say still apply. I mean, you're not providing any documentation other than, pre-approval and stuff. So I would say still apply. You never know. But because I've always told people, and it's true, usually when I collect all the applications and all the financial documentation, 50 to 60% of the applications are not included in the lottery. All right. So which is why I asked permission from the monitoring agent to do it with no financial documentation. So everyone, as long as they filled out the application completely, everyone's going to have it. No one's going to be discounted. So I fully expect there will probably be about 40 people or so in this lottery. I don't know what the breakdown is yet because I don't pay attention to the applications until after the deadline. So I don't know what the breakdown will be between one bedroom and two bedroom households. Okay. All right, where am I? All right, 33, oh wait, I got more questions. Why is it structured this way as opposed to other lotteries giving multiple entries to larger households? I'm not sure I understand the question, but if I understand it correctly, this is a lottery. And we are required by the guidelines we work under that two bedroom units go to households that require two bedrooms. You know, if they were three bedroom units here, it would go to households that require three bedrooms. If we exhaust the two bedroom households in the local pool, then we'll offer the two bedroom unit to the open pool. If all two bedroom households have been offered and declined or didn't proceed with the unit in a home ownership situation, then we will offer the unit to one bedroom households. But it's just the guidelines we work under. They're all state guidelines. Does a 529 account towards the asset? You know, I don't know the answer to that question, and you're not the first time it's been asked of me. It's certainly something that I have to get an answer for. I have not get an answer. I need to research the account. If it's restricted only, meaning you can't take any money out of it, probably it's not going to count. If you can access that money for another reason other than a college education, then if you can access it, it's probably going to count. But I would need to request, ask the monitoring agent. Rarely do I see these. Can any portion of the down payment above 3% be gifted funds? 1.5% must be your own funds. Anything beyond 1.5% can be a gift. Rather than preference being given to two bedroom units, the last one I did simply gave two entries to two bedroom and one to one bedroom. I don't understand that either. In Austin, they distribute units differently, and maybe that's what you're asking about. There's one person, if there's one person per bedroom, you get a unit. So if you're a husband and wife and you applied for a two bedroom unit, you can get a unit. That's how the city of Boston works. Outside the city of Boston, it's husband and wife must share a room and there's one person per bedroom thereafter. If you require a special accommodation, for some reason a husband and wife can't share a room, then you need to provide that documentation and a letter from the doctor with your application. I have one child and my wife is pregnant, which makes us four. Are we, yeah, four people, you're eligible for a two bedroom. Yep. Okay. All right. So minority, if you are a minority, there is a section on the application that asks about your household. It's optional. You do not need to complete it. However, it's about your family and it's optional. And that is where we determine if you meet the minority criteria or not. You need to check what is applicable to you. In this instance, because there is a local preference, 33.4% of the applicants in the local pool need to be minority. If they are not, then we will do what I call a mini lottery the night of the lottery, and we will move the appropriate number of non-local minority applicants from the open pool into the local pool, okay? I do not know if that is gonna happen until we get closer to the lottery, but if you are a minority in this instance and you're not local, you definitely wanna fill out that section on the application about your family. If you don't fill it out, then you're going into our spreadsheet as no, okay? If it's not completed. But if you are local and minority, it's gonna work to your advantage because it may prohibit other non-local applicants being moved into the local pool to increase the numbers, but it's your decision whether you wanna fill it out or not. But we will do, if we need to move people over, we will do that the night of the lottery. And it will be done publicly. It will be by lottery, but anyone who's moved from the, if we have to do it, from the open pool into the local pool, they're treated as local applicants. So they will have two opportunities for a unit, same as every other local pool applicant. Okay, does that make sense to everybody?
What if for the minority, what if you have a disability? Would that be any need?
Disability doesn't give you anything. There's no priority for disabled applicants. Neither one of the units are handicap accessible. Okay, so this is an affordable home. What that means is you are paying below market price for the unit. So you will be restricted on the resale price. When you go to sell the unit, you notify the monitoring agent. In this case, it's the Department of Housing and Community Development in Boston. They will price the unit for you, which is a very cut and dry way. They look at the current median income at the time you sell. I've been on vacation for 10 days. My brain is not back up to where it usually is. So I'm sorry if this is a little disjointed. So when you purchase a unit, a resale price multiplier is determined at the time you buy. And that's determined by taking the purchase price, 219.2, dividing it by the HUD median income limit for 2022, it's $140,200. And that equals 1.56, okay? That is your resale price multiplier. So when you go to sell your property, DHCD will look at the current median income. If it has gone up, and multiplied by 1.56, and that is your price. So if the median income increases, you're going to make money. If the median income stays the same or goes down, the home will be sold for what you paid for it. Okay, so there's no chance you're gonna be underwater. But that is a very cut and dry process added to your price that you will get at closing is a resale fee when you go to sell it, 2%. And that resale fee goes to whoever sells your unit. The Department of Housing and Community Development, DHCD, they will outsource the sale of the unit for you. So you do not need to pay for a broker. So you're saving 5% right off the top. Okay. So your resale price is restricted. You are never, ever going to sell this unit for market value. If you have to do any capital improvements, and that essentially is when you go to sell the property, everything has to be in working order. So if you wanted to say finish your basement, that is not considered a capital improvement. You can do that. You can spend the money, but that is for your enjoyment only. You will not get any return on your investment if you were to finish the basement. If you want to put in hardwood floors, and I don't know if you have them or not, hardwood floors or granite countertops or whatever you want to do to make the home your own, that all that is for your enjoyment only. There will be $0 return on your investment. Now, if you live there long enough and you have to replace the heating system or the air conditioning system or an appliance, not washer and dryer, because a washer and dryer doesn't come with the unit, any of the appliances that come with the unit that have to be in working order when you sell the property, those are the things that would be considered a capital improvement. If there were any capital improvements, there is a policy by DHCD. I don't know exactly what it is because I have nothing to do with it. But I do know this. You need to get any kind of a capital improvement approved prior to the work being done. And then you need to provide DHCD with proof of a paid invoice from whomever does the work. And that has to be done at the time the work is done. If you just want to stack have a file of capital improvements and then give them that file folder 10 years later, they're not going to even take that into consideration. Okay. Capital improvements are not going to be dollar for dollar. It will be prorated. I have no clue what the formula is, but if you want any capital improvements added to your resale price, then you need to follow DHCD guidelines in getting those approved. Now, they will only be approved if the price of your home is still affordable to the next affordable buyer, okay? So if it's not affordable, they may not count all of them, they'll count what they can. But that is something you need to keep in mind if you do any kind of capital improvements. If you get an assessment for you've been there long enough and all the roofs need to be redone and there's not enough money in the maintenance fund and everyone gets a $5,000 assessment, I believe that's considered a capital improvement. But again, you need to notify the monitoring agent at the time that work is done. All right, any question on the deed rider? You will sign that at closing. If you want a copy of it, send me an email and I'll be more than happy to send it to you now. But it is the legal binding document that makes the unit affordable that you will sign at closing. Okay, the lottery, I've already talked about the lottery. I'll go over it again. There's two pools, local, open, one unit in each pool. Local pool applicant will select their unit first, and then the open pool will take the remaining unit. We will draw two pools, local first, then open. The units will be distributed based on the appropriate household size. So if you're a single person household, come in first, we'll move to the first person on the list that requires two bedrooms. If everyone that requires two bedrooms is exhausted from both the local and open pool, then we will begin offering it to one bedroom households. I find that highly unlikely for this lottery, but it does happen in larger lotteries. Okay, I have more questions. Is there a pet policy? I'm certain there are, there is. I don't know what it is at the moment. Pets will be definitely allowed. There will be breed restrictions based on breed of dogs. That's for insurance purposes. The insurance company won't allow certain breeds. That's pretty standard. All right, are there any restrictions on modifications after buying and closing once you lived in the unit? Not sure what you mean by that either. But any restrictions or modifications will be, you know, you need to get it approved by, you know, the appropriate department at the town hall. I don't know what kind of modifications you'd want to do. Again, finishing the basement, you know, you need to go through the proper channels as far as the town to get the appropriate permits. More than likely, solar panels are not going to be allowed. This is a condominium. So that will be addressed in the condominium documents, but I expect it's a no, but I could be wrong. Bree, you can email me at my office. My email is maureen@mcohousingservices.com, and I will be more than happy to send you a copy of the deed rider. Basement is unfinished. Fencing, I don't know what they've provided. Okay. All right, so there are, I'll just mention it because these are two bedroom units. You know, we can't, if someone comes in with four kids, you're not going to be eligible for the unit. The bedroom sizes, there's a, you know, a minimum square footage per person per bedroom. So larger households that come through, three kids, four kids, I doubt very much will meet the sanitary code. So I'm not saying don't apply, I'm just saying, you know, we'll look at the square footage of the bedrooms to see if you qualify for a larger bedroom. All right. So again, we're not collecting all the required financial documentation in order for you to be part of the lottery. That will only be collected from the two buyers that have the initial opportunity to purchase. We will do that post-lottery. So we will... I will send you the list of required financial documentation to the buyers. Depending on when you submitted your application, you also may have to provide an updated pre-approval because the interest rates are all over the place. You will have a defined period of time to get that document to us, all the documents to us. If you miss the deadline, we will move on to the next person on the list. All right. So just keep that in mind. You will have deadlines. You certainly can bring your paperwork to the office and I can review it with you to make sure everything's there. So there's not any problems down the road, but you will have a usually very generous time frame, you know, a week, 2 weeks, 10 days to 2 weeks to provide all the required financial documentation, which none of it is outrageous. So you probably have most of it handy at your home. Again, these units are done. So the builder is going to want to move forward with the buyers right away. If you have an opportunity to purchase, we are going, you know, we will ask you for your attorney information. If you're going to use an attorney, we will need that so we can provide that information to the seller's attorney to send a copy of the purchase and sale to them. We've talked about the resale. If you're going to sell, you need to notify the monitoring agent, DHCD. There is a home buyer disclosure statement that you will receive once we receive your approval. We send you a copy of the approval so you can share it with your bank. Attached to that is the home buyer disclosure statement. So you need to sign it, and get that back to us. For the individuals who have the opportunity to purchase, the way the process works after you've been approved, we need your mortgage commitment 2 weeks prior to the scheduled closing date on your unit. And the reason for that is we send your mortgage commitment, the purchase and sale agreement, the home buyer disclosure statement, and the bank's closing attorney to the monitoring agent, in this case, DHCD. They will review your mortgage, which is why it's imperative it meets the guidelines. They will prepare the affordable closing documents and they will send them to DHCD. They require 2 weeks to do that, okay? Which is why we will need your commitment 2 weeks before you close. We will let you know, we will let your bank know, we'll let you both know again and again and again so you understand the process. Sometimes you're going to say, "There, I know this and I know this. Why do they keep telling me?" Because people don't pay attention to us. They don't listen. They know better. And then your closing is going to get delayed and everyone's going to be mad, but it's really going to be on your shoulders. So we try to keep you as informed as possible throughout the process. Most people the buyers will be working with Jennifer in my office after we determine who the winners are, the buyers are. And Jennifer has been doing this for a long time. She's very good at what she does. And she, trust me, will notify you and your lender more than once about the closing process. So there's no confusion. The HOA fee includes landscaping, snow removal, street maintenance, trash removal, common areas, reserve fund, association fee. So that's what your fund, your HOA fee covers. The HOA fee is not fixed. It will adjust on an annual basis. I'm hearing, and myself included, who owns a condo, it's a really big increase this year for me from what it's been since I moved in here. And it's because the cost of things have gone up. So expect an increase in your condo fee on an annual basis. Right now, someone asked me what the tax rate is. The 2022 tax rate is $17.71 per thousand. I don't know what the 2023 tax rate is, so that will have changed. But when we priced these units, the interest rate was 7.2%. So that's gone down a little bit. Like I said, last week it was, I think 6.49, I could be wrong. So it's gone down a little bit, which is good. I mentioned, you know, with the private mortgage insurance, you don't pay if you use one of the first-time home buyer programs. That's going to save you about $135 a month right off the top. Okay. The total monthly housing expenses are estimated to be $2,203 a month. So if you use one of the first-time home buyer programs, you're already saving $135 a month right off the top. Now, part of your mortgage will be your principal and interest, your real estate taxes, private mortgage insurance if you have to pay it. And a lot of banks are also including your homeowner's insurance as part of your mortgage payment. Your association fee is going to be a separate payment, okay? It's going to be a separate bill you need to pay on a monthly basis. It's counted as part of your monthly housing cost. in determining your eligibility for a mortgage, but it is a separate bill you would pay if you have the opportunity to purchase. Okay, thank you, Donahue. I forgot to mention. So we're going to do the lottery on February 10th. Immediately following the lottery, I will email everyone in the lottery the lottery results as drawn. Okay. I'm also going to have a second attachment to that email because I'm going to go in and break out the units, the two bedroom, then one bedroom, so people can see their order to purchase. Okay. That will be emailed on the 10th. It'll take me a little bit of time to break out the units based on bedroom sizes. So it's not going to be immediately following the drawing, but you will absolutely have that by the day's end on February 10th. If you have the opportunity to purchase, you will receive a second email from me, which will say congratulations, but we'll also, I'll call you or email you, and we'll talk about, you know, the documentation you need to provide in order for us to determine your eligibility for the program. Your bank, Nancy's asking, when completing the pre-approval, do we need to include the current tax rate and HOA fee? Your bank should know that information, yes. You need to give your bank the taxes, which right now are $324 a month, the HOA fee, which is $221 a month, and the price of the home. The bank, that's the information the bank absolutely will need in determining your eligibility for a mortgage, okay? If you submit a pre-approval that, you know, is higher than the 219.2 to be in the lottery, that's okay. But we are absolutely will ask, if you have the opportunity to purchase, we will ask you for a pre-approval just for the price of the home, so we know exactly what your down payment is, because we'll notify the seller of that down payment you'll have to provide as part of your deposit when you sign the purchase and sale agreement. So we'll ask for a very defined pre-approval if you have the opportunity to work. Make sure your pre-approval has not expired. People send me pre-approvals from June and it's expired and you're not going to be included in the lottery. Okay, you're just not. So make sure it hasn't expired. Now I know it may expire, you know, January 27th, I'm not going to ask you to get another one, because if you have the opportunity to purchase, we'll get a new one anyways. But if it's expired before you even provided it to us, we're not going to include you in the lottery. All right. Okay, so the cottage is 36 Patricia Lane. That's the detached home. And the duplex is 39 Patricia Lane. Someone asked earlier if there's any green space. The project does have tennis courts, community gardens, and a walking trail. So my guess is there is green space for you. All right, so in the application is a copy of the layout, so you can see where each unit is located and the floor plans. Now, and then the application, when I say you need to provide a complete application, this application that is used for every lottery has to be completed. So what people tend to do, particularly on page 2, is just sign it and not provide your asset information or employment information. I want it complete. So if you don't fill that stuff out, I'm going to assume you have no money, you don't have any money for a down payment, and you will not be included in the lottery. So there are ways for you to screw up here, people. And trust me, some of you are going to find the ways. So if you just read the application, on page 10 is where you need to include if you are local preference. You need to check off at least one of the criteria: current Littleton resident, employed by the town of Littleton or the Littleton Public Schools, employee working in a business located in the town of Littleton or with an offer letter for a business located in Littleton, or if you have children attending the Littleton schools. Any one of those puts you in the local pool. If you do not check it off, you will not check the appropriate one, you will not be in the lot. You will not be in the local pool. Even if you say your town is Littleton, you will not be in the local pool. So pay attention to that and fill it out if it applies. We do need to know how many members will be living in the home. So just give us the total number and then list them out under the household composition. If you are, if you're filled it out with your name at the top of the page as the applicant, put your name a second time under the household composition. One thing, I'm sorry, I'm getting out of whack here. I forgot to mention about 18-year-olds, because a lot of it I keep in, to review when I go over all the documentation you need to provide, which is not the case here. If you have a child that is 18 or older, they are a full-time college student, and they are a dependent on your tax return, then we are only going to count $480 of their income. Even if they make $20,000, we're only going to count $480. But they must be a full-time student, and they must be a dependent on the applicant's tax return. All right? If you have a child that is a full-time student and not a dependent on your tax return, their full income will count towards your income eligibility. And if they are a part-time student, whether they're a dependent or not, part-time students, their full income will count. Okay, so that's why you need to provide when you submit your application, all the financials to the two winners, you need to provide all their documentation. But I'm not going to go into that those details tonight because it's not required as part of your application. I will put together a Zoom meeting going over all the documents you need to provide, and it will be posted on our website. So you can review that at the time you have the opportunity to purchase, or you can come into the office and meet with us. You know, whatever you need to do to get everything to us on time, you know, we will work with you to do that. We also ask for your all adults, it says borrow and co-borrow, but it's all adults in the household, 18 or older, your gross monthly income from all adults, from all sources, child support, social security, disability, severance, whatever your unemployment, although I don't see much of that these days, wherever your source of income is, you need to write that down there. And then on the next page, we actually ask you to break out your assets, checking, savings, stocks, bonds, retirement. If you are receiving a down payment gift, you need to write that month, write the amount there. You need to provide us your employer information, your date of hire, and what your annual wage, base wage is, and if you receive bonus, commission, or overtime. This section here about your family, that's what we use to determine your minority status. All right, fill it out or not. It's your decision, it's purely optional. But again, in this situation, because there's a local pool, it could work to your advantage to complete it. And then everyone 18 or older needs to sign and date the application. The next page is the affidavit and disclosure form. It's on page 12 and 13. And all you need to do is read, sign, and date that. And then the last page is, it's just a very short list of what you need to provide. Again, your mortgage pre-approval letter. FHA, VA, I'm sorry, and Quicken Loans are not allowed. Quicken Loans, which I believe are also Rocket Mortgage, do not close on deed restricted properties. I have called them myself to verify that. If you require a reasonable accommodation, you must request that at time of application and provide any supporting documentation, which will be a letter from your doctor. And then proof of local preference. If you live in Littleton, a copy of your lease, utility bill, voter registration. If you work in Littleton or for the town of Littleton, just give us a copy of your pay stubs because that'll show us that's where you work or something else. If you have children that go to the Littleton school system and you live outside of Littleton, you need to get a letter from the town of Littleton, the school department, stating that your child goes to school in Littleton. And I think that's it. Oh, more questions. If we are chosen to purchase and the tax rate and HOA fee increase, changing our income to expense ratio higher than 38%, would we no longer qualify? Maybe. I can't answer that question because that's going to be between you and your lender. Okay, Green. My email is Maureen, M-A-U-R-E-E-N, no O, just my first name, at mcohousingservices.com. Once your child is 18, can they take over as the owner? Not if you're still living there, they can't. So if you're asking, can a child or inherit the place, they can if they're eligible. If they're not eligible, I don't believe they can. If your income exceeds the household limits, do you need to sell? You need to be eligible at the time you close, okay? So it's fully expected that your income will go up over, you know, for all the years you live there. No one's going to become knocking on your door asking for updates on your income. You only need to be eligible at the time you close. If for any reason there is going to be a delay, it'll take 45 to 60 days to close after we have a signed purchase and sale agreement. Okay. So you'll have probably two weeks to sign the P&S. Your bank, if we notify that you have the opportunity to purchase, you want to start working with your bank right away, but they will only be able to go so far until they have a signed purchase and sale agreement. Once they get that signed purchase and sale agreement, then it's about 30 to 45 days before we'll get the commitment, and then 2 weeks to close after that. I know banks aren't that busy right now, so it may be a faster process because nobody's buying these days. But that remains to be seen. But that's typically what the timing is. So that's why we want to get your documentation and get you approved as quickly as possible. And we should, once we get a full packet from you and we review you, if we think you're eligible, we'll submit it to the monitoring agent and they will give us their approval. It's usually within 24 to 48 hours. So it's a very fast turnaround process. So we will remind the buyers when we meet with them, or especially if we think they're eligible, to figure out if you're going to use an attorney. Because you can hire an attorney. It doesn't cost you anything to hire an attorney, but you want to figure out who you want to use. So that information will be available when we need it. There's a couple other things. If you use the One Mortgage program and Mass Housing, you will have to take a first-time homebuyer class. That class has to be taken before you close on the property. Does not have to be taken before you apply for any lottery. In general, you can apply for as many lotteries as you want, okay? If you see 10 out there that you want to apply for, do it, okay? Until you sign a purchase and sale agreement, you are not legally bound to anything, okay? So don't apply one at a time. Apply for as many lotteries as you want, okay? Not a problem. If you decide you don't want to buy here, it's not going to prohibit you from applying for another lottery that we're doing. What will leave a sour note in all our mouths if you sign a P&S and you're moving forward and then you decide not to purchase because you want to buy over at a property across the street, that is not a good thing. All right. Okay, I think I answered all your questions, you guys. We're asking me questions faster than I could keep up with the chat. So if I miss someone's question, ask me again. I apologize. But you guys are asking a lot of good questions. And let's see. I just, for some reason, have a problem. Oh, there we go. I will look up the new tax rate. You know, I'll have that for the lottery. And I'll have the information if there's an updated condo fee. I'll have that for the lottery too. No, it doesn't look like I missed any. Nope, I think I got everything. All right. So, nope, another message. One more thing. Can we make an offer of the, no, the price is fixed. The price is $219,200. There's no negotiating on the price. Okay, any other questions? I will post it.
The first time home buyer class must be taken before approval.
Before you can close. Not the approval of me getting you approved through the monitoring agent. A first time home buyer class has to happen before you close. It's going to be one of the conditions for you to close through the lender. You can go to chapa.org, chapa.org. At the top navigation bar, I think it says home buyer classes or something. It's a drop-down menu. Most classes are done via Zoom these days, but you can find one that meets your schedule. Some can be a Saturday and Sunday one weekend. Another class can be one night a week for 4 weeks. A Saturday over the course of a couple weeks. So they all do them differently. They all do them. There's several that are around the state. I always talk at one that takes place in Gloucester for first time home buyers. So there's multiple locations you can choose from. There is a fee. You want to ask your lender if you're married or buying with somebody else, if you both need to participate in the class, or if it's okay if just one of you participate. It used to be one of you was okay, and I've been just hearing over the past couple of years that the lenders want both adults to take the class. So you want to check that out with your lender. But if you have the opportunity to purchase, I would check out the schedule and get in one as quickly as possible, because you have to finish that class before you can close. It will be a condition of your closing through your lender. Okay. Now I'm available. I've given my email. I'll give it one more time. It's maureen@mcohousingservices.com. Or you can call, speak to myself or Jennifer. Our office number is 978-456-8388. We are there to answer any questions you have. So feel free to call. And I will post this meeting on our website, hopefully tomorrow. If not, within a couple of days, usually. It takes a couple of days for Dropbox to transfer to my office so I can open it in my office. So we will post this on our website.
Thank you. Maureen, could you tell us when we're going to get the numbers for the lottery?
You will get that after the deadline.
Thank you.
Yeah. And your lottery code will be letters from your name. If I was doing my name, I would be like MOH or MOG or something. So we use letters of your name.
Usually. And they will be emailed?
Yes. I will email everybody. And in the email, we'll let you know if you're in the local pool or the open pool, what your household size is. So we'll put all that in the email as well. Okay, if there are no other questions, I'm going to say goodnight. Thank you
for question.
Your time. Yes?
Quick question, please.
Yeah?
Yeah. About the document need to send with the application. Mm-hmm. I'm not a local, but just the pre-approval?
That's all we need. Pre-approval, local
permit. And the application.
And the application, yep. If nothing else applies, that's all you need to provide.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Can I drop it in your office?
Absolutely. Okay, we're there from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday.
Okay, so thank you.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions? All right, then I'm going to say goodnight. Thank you for your time and good luck to everybody. And again, apply for as many lotteries as you want.
Thank you.
Okay, good night.